A wonderful Wednesday to each of you, and welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. A fellow Western Conference playoff contender over the past several years, the Utah Jazz. It seems that they're ready for a rebuild. Could that mean Donovan Mitchell is available? And what does that potentially mean for the Grizzlies as a bidder? Plus, the Grizzlies had by far their best summer league game yet on Tuesday. We'll discuss that and much more on this edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Here we go.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome one and all to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. Hope wherever you are and wherever you are listening. And back with me once again, live from Las Vegas, a man who was lucky enough to see an absolute butt-whooping handed out by the Grizzlies to the Brooklyn Nets Summer League team. DeMichael Cole is with me. DeMichael, how are you, sir?
Man, I'm great. That game, it ended so fast, I was able to get back to my hotel room and you know, get out of that Vegas heat. It was 113. So I'm glad the Grizzlies did what they had to do so I can get back in my hotel room and, you know, get some AC in my life.
Vegas, the Vegas Heat setting records, the Grizzlies setting records, 120 points, the highest summer leagues, or tying the highest summer league score in the history of the summer league with 120 points. We'll get into spectacular performance from up and down. Every one of the most intriguing young talents on the Grizzlies summer league roster did outstanding. Of course, you can find myself at Stats SEC, DeMichael at DeMichael C, the show at Locked On Grizz on YouTube as well. Hit that subscribe button. During this episode, we're going to reach 1,000 subscribers. Thank you to every single one of our supporters. It's a big, big boost to our confidence and just overall our joy of giving you great content. But let's get right into it. Before we get into Summer League, though, another interesting news nugget came out today, DeMichael, where another team that has been a Western Conference, you know, playoff contender over the past several years. The team that eliminated the Grizzlies back in the 2020-21 season, the Utah Jazz, they've already traded Rudy Gobert. And now they made Donovan Mitchell available for trade as well. Now, it's interesting, for one thing, because this is another playoff potential team in the Western Conference that at the end of the day, at the start of next season, may not be on the Grizzlies level. So that's one positive. But an interesting thing comes to mind, DeMichael. When Minnesota traded for Rudy Gobert, they made the comment, we went ahead and made a move for the best talent we felt we could possibly add to our team over the next few years. DeMichael, for the Grizzlies, Donovan Mitchell's not an ideal fit. He probably is not someone that you want to just absolutely pay a king's ransom for. But if the Grizzlies feel that DeMichael Cole or that Donovan Mitchell is you said you beat me 12-0 yesterday in basketball. I figured that you may be a target. But give me the question. If the Grizzlies were to feel that Donovan Mitchell was the best potential talent they reasonably had a chance yet over the next few years, do you pull the trigger? Does it make sense?
Sean, it's an interesting conversation, right? Because you're talking about a guy who, you know, from an athleticism standpoint and the shot creating, we talked about, you know, Ja Morant. Outside of Ja Morant, in the playoffs, we saw the Grizzlies, especially in that series against Golden State, shot making was kind of, you know, a weakness in terms of having a guy who could create and do things on his own. That's something that Donovan Mitchell has been one of the better players, one of the better two guards at in the NBA. But this is a troubling one, Sean, and you mentioned it. He's not an ideal fit. We got that part out of the way. Donovan Mitchell is, you know, an undersized 6'3 guard, and I've seen people in Utah talk about the fact with Donovan Mitchell, he and Mike Conley aren't your ideal backcourt because they're two undersized guards in a way. Kind of similar to this how Portland played out, right? Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, they went at it year after year after year after year. But a lot of people thought the fact that they had those two underside guards, it wasn't going to work. So what did Portland do? Portland shipped CJ McCollum, and now they're kind of trying to retool that team and go at it in a different direction. All that gets back to my point. He's a heck of a talent, but first you have to think about the cost. is this going to cost you Desmond Bane? Then you don't even pick up the phone, in my opinion. You know, I think with Kevin Durant, we talked about that. Yeah, I think you would pick up the phone in that situation. But personally, I wouldn't make that trade. But, you know, we've talked about that in previous episodes. But that's the type of player you want to – if you want to trade a guy like Desmond Bane as your centerpiece, you better be getting a guy who you know can take this team to the finals. And Donovan Mitchell, we know he'd be fun to watch. We don't know if he is the missing piece. So I don't pull the trigger just because you mentioned it. It's not an ideal fit, right? You're going to put Donovan Mitchell and Ja Morant beside each other. You don't have a great wing defensive guard at that point. Of course, you still have Dylan Brooks on the roster, but Donovan Mitchell, to a lesser degree, has kind of been known as sometimes a wildly inefficient, you know, erratic shooter. I mean, he's an all-star, so he's, you know, really good. Sometimes he'll shoot 45%, 50%. We saw him in the bubble in that series against the Nuggets, where he and Jamal Murray had one of the greatest playoff duels we've ever seen in the first round. So he's capable of, you know, those incredible highs, but his lows have been, you know, some real big lows as well. So I think it's just it's not worth it in terms of if the Grizzlies are to make a big swing for a player, it should be a wing, a 6'7", 6'8", guy who you can pair with Ja and Desmond Bane. I think the Ja and Desmond Bane, that can't be broken up. You just don't find those type of complementary players. You got Ja Morant, who is arguably, you know, the best finisher right now at the point guard position. If he's not the best finisher, he's the best paint scorer, evidenced by this season, you know, the historical numbers he put up scoring in the paint. And then you have Desmond Bane, who you said yourself, Sean, top 5 3-point shooter in the NBA. So you're talking about the point guard is a top 5 finisher among point guards, and you have a shooting guard who's a top 5 3-point shooter. That's peanut butter and jelly. Why would you break that up? So I think, you know, Donovan Mitchell, great talent. It's great to discuss because, I mean, It's a fun imaginary thing, but I think that conversation, if you look at what Utah just got for Rudy Gobert, you think they're not going to pick up the phone asking for Desmond Bane? Oh, please. And for the Grizzlies, you don't even entertain that.
Absolutely. And I think that you're on point with everything that you just said. And I think that it goes a bit further than, you know, Minnesota. I do think that if the price was reasonable enough, Donovan Mitchell is enough of a needle mover to where if you could somehow – if the Jazz were interested in a Clark and a Dylan Brooks and several picks for Donovan Mitchell, I'd probably listen. If you still could retain Desmond Bane and Zaire Williams and then add Donovan Mitchell to our roster, I'd listen. Yeah. I probably would pull the trigger in that case because at the end of the day, you're getting a difference maker. You see if you can figure it out, and if it doesn't work, you could always trade Donovan Mitchell again down the road if it doesn't work out. That's fine. But I do agree with you to the point that it's not a Minnesota situation where with Minnesota, it's not just about the fact that Gobert was the best player they could have gotten over the next few years. So they pulled the trigger. Gobert fits a need for them. They already had a top tier offense. He makes them much better defensively with his presence. Donovan Mitchell doesn't do the same thing for the Grizzlies. He's a natural talent, but he's not necessarily the best fit. To your point, if it's an all-in move for the Grizzlies, a Durant is that type of move, or a two-way wing is that type of move, without a doubt. So I agree with you. I think that you could make a Donovan Mitchell-type trade make sense for the Grizzlies, but I also do think this isn't something that you try to force or that you overpay because the fit doesn't make sense. You've not seen a lot of formulas where a Ja, Donovan Mitchell, Desmond Bane perimeter makes a lot of sense. Most important thing of all, you would likely lose one or two big defensive pieces that would really make it make sense to get Donovan Mitchell. So at the end of the day, I agree with you, but it also is at least worth discussing because these are the type of players. We're now arriving to the type of time where the Grizzlies making this type of all-in move. It's here. It's approaching. Donovan Mitchell may just not be the most ideal target.
Exactly. I mean, that's all it is. He's not the guy – for this particular situation, for this particular team, you know, shooting guard. And you mentioned, what if there was a trade package out there for the Grizzlies to acquire Donovan Mitchell without including Desmond Bane? Now you have to figure out a super small Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, Donovan Mitchell, 1-2-3 guys. Two of those guys are going to have to guard Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. The other's probably going to have to guard John Wall. I mean, that's how I look at it. You know, you need your perimeter defenders. You need your Dylan Brooks. You need your Zaire Williams out there. Once he gets even stronger, you know, he's going to be better at that. But that's where the fit just doesn't make much sense in that case. And I mean, Donovan Mitchell is an all-star. Like, let's not get it twisted. This is a guard who's coming to NBA from day one and has made a huge impact. But the Grizzlies have something nice going. The Grizzlies already have a top five backcourt in the NBA. No need to break it up.
Absolutely. And so at the end of the day, it's fun to speculate. It's fun to have conversations, you know, and again, there are certain scenarios where maybe it does make sense. But I think for the Grizzlies, this isn't the type of situation that you force. This isn't even a type of situation that you let come to you. If it falls in your lap and it's just too good to be true, go after it. But I think in this situation, Donovan Mitchell, for the Grizzlies, it may not necessarily be a Mitchell or a Durant that the Grizzlies go after. It could be a complementary piece to those stars that really could make even more sense for the Grizzlies when you consider cost versus value added to Memphis. But I'll tell you another way that you could add value to your daily needs, and that's rockauto.com, because I can tell you this, the summer is here, and so a lot of wear and tear are going to be on your car as you get out and travel more often. Rockauto.com is amazing because within a few clicks of the button, you're likely going to find what you need when it comes to the car part and the make and model that you have. Family-owned business, been in business over 20 years. They're going to make sure costs are effective for you. When you visit rockauto.com, let them know the Locked On Podcast Network sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the car parts you'll ever need. Visit rockauto.com today. Of course, we want to thank you for making Locked On Grizzlies your first listen of the day. Make sure you continue to check out the Locked On NBA podcast as your second listen of the day with all the great NBA news that is going around. And the thing that I'll say should be topping the headlines to Michael Cole, you were there in person, a historic summer league performance for the Grizzlies, and we talked about it from the weekend. Sloppy play, struggles, not a lot of effective opportunities from distance. So what did the Grizzlies do? They absolutely featured their size. In the first half of this game, DeMichael, David Roddy, Xavier Tillman, Zaire Williams, and Santi Aldama combined to go 21 of 30 from the field and 4 for 7 from 3 for 52 points. You were there in person. It was a night and day difference between this past weekend.
Night and day. I mean, I tweeted out that Sean, it was crazy because the Grizzlies literally went from looking like the 2012 Charlotte Bobcats that won 7 games to the Showtime Lakers with just one day off. And I was talking to David McClure, the Grizzlies summer league coach, after the game, and I'm like, what happened? Because you didn't practice yesterday. And he was joking for a second. He was like, look, when you give some young guys a day off in Vegas, you never know what's going to happen. But they really dived into the film. A lineup change was made. Let's point that out. That Kennedy Chandler had been starting pretty much throughout the summer league while he was playing. Well, the Grizzlies decided to go with a bigger, more physical lineup. They put in David Roddy to replace Kennedy Chandler. And what this lineup did, for one, it added physicality. I've talked about in previous episodes, Jake LaRavia couldn't really get good shots. Vince Williams couldn't get really good shots. Other players couldn't really get good shots because the Grizzlies kind of were bunched up. They weren't able to get in their offense, partly because of the physicality of other teams. Well, they made the unit more physical with David Roddy. And on top of adding David Roddy into the starting lineup, it made Zaire Williams focus on being the primary point guard. So why is that a big deal? Well, when Zaire Williams and Kennedy Chandler is in the game at the same time, you have that your turn, my turn type of effect. And neither guy is really able to get in the rhythm as that primary distributor. Now you have Kennedy Chandler coming off the bench. You saw what Kennedy Chandler brought when he came off the bench. You saw what Zaire Williams, 8 assists to 2 turnovers. David McClure said it was his best game yet. Zaire Williams attributed this. Check this out, Sean. We've talked about it, me and you, over and over about the Desmond Bane-Zaire Williams relationship. Well, Zaire Williams, he told me after this game, he said, Desmond Bane, who came, this was Desmond Bane's first Vegas game that he attended. Desmond Bane came to his hotel, sat and talked with him for about 20 minutes, largely about his experience from last season, just talking about what he went through last year in summer league, the troubles, the good, the bad, all of that. Desmond Bane talked to him, and the rest was history. He really contributed that talk with Desmond Bane as a big reason why he was able to have this breakout, because it's been up and down for Zaire. He had an 8-assist game, but since then he had 2 assists, you know, in the previous 2 games. So this was a really big breakout performance for him as well. But it was a breakout performance for everybody, right, Sean?
Absolutely. Well, except for one person whose breakout performance was on Sunday night, and that's Santi Aldama. Before we talk about Santi, though, Desmond Bane had some really good things to say. NBA.com interviewed Desmond Bane during the Summer League game, and Desmond Bane had some just outstanding words of positivity about his Summer League experience, about how he really felt it changed his perspective on really allowing for him to get comfortable with being a focal point. And we saw how well he did this season at times being that. Zaire Williams, 8 assists, only 2 turnovers, in control, overall a step forward for him. But when I say Santi Aldama didn't have a breakout game, it was because of his last game, in which he was 11 for 22, I believe, with 25 points. DeMichael in this game, 12 of 14 from the field, 4 of 5 from 3, 31 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists. Santi Aldama, for 2 straight games, this time with all the Grizzlies players available and with Cam Thomas, Daron Sharp, and some other players available, 2 straight games in a row, Santi Aldama has left zero doubt. He was the best player playing in these games. I don't think that there is a better narrative you could have asked for than that type of outcome in this Summer League. It's great to see.
It's amazing to see. And Santi Aldama, let's rewind a little bit, right? Because this is a guy, first round pick, not just a first round pick. The Grizzlies traded up, what was it, Sean? 10 spots? They 10 did. Spots to get this guy. So that's when you trade up 10 spots to get somebody, you're saying that's who we want. We zeroing in on him, and the Grizzlies wanted him. And you saw last season, up and down, spent a lot of time in G League. You don't want your first round pick spending as much time in the G League as he did last season. So there were some concerns there. And, you know, he came up at the end of the season, had that game against the Suns. People were really happy to see that. But then, you know, the Vegas Summer League starts, and he scores 4 points. So I make a tweet, you know, basically saying I can see the potential, and there are a lot of Grizzlies fans in the comments. He's you know, they sounded checked out on him. And I hadn't really seen the Grizzlies fan base really give up on a player like that so fast.
DeMichael, I don't mean to interrupt you, but do not tell me we're going down this road again. I had to hear you all regular season, and yes, Zach Kleiman alluded to it, that you coming on the scene was the reason why the Grizzlies all of a sudden caught fire and they finished with the second best record in the league. Don't tell me you're about to take credit for a Santi Aldama breakout because of a tweet you sent. Don't claim that.
Call me the magic man.
No, I ain't calling you anything. I ain't calling you anything. Don't claim it.
I'm taking credit for this. Just like everyone gave me credit for the win streak, I'm taking credit for the Santi Aldama streak that's happening right now. 22 points in that first game, and he talked about it. He said he actually sounded really confident when I was talking to him. He said, look, I just slept on it. I have bad games. You know, he said, this is basketball. I've been playing basketball my whole life. And then this game happens, right? So I asked him, I said, look, like, what's your message to the fan base? Like, what is your message to the fan base after you just had 22 points, 31 points? And I said, what are the messages to the people that have been supporting you throughout this? And this is what he told me. Keep in mind, we haven't talked to Santi Aldama a lot, but this was a strong quote from a guy who, quite frankly, hasn't done much in the NBA yet. But I like it. I want to hear your thoughts, too, after you hear this. But this is what he told me. He said, that's how I play basketball. If you're a real fan, you know how I play basketball. He said, this is me, alluding to the 22 points and the 31-point games. He said, this is me. He said, if you think the other one, the 4-point game, if you think the other one is me, then you don't know me. That's what Santi Aldama said. I haven't heard him talk like that, Sean, but I love that confidence because that was the one thing people were wondering, right? Like, where is his confidence? Sean, what did you think when you hear him say, look, this is me. If you think the other one's me, you don't know me.
He sounds like a player that's been sitting and been very aware of how Desmond Bane, Ja Morant, and others have been conducting themselves as late. That's a stay on your side type comment. Where stay on that side that we heard in the playoff. It's great to see. You know, I'll say this a little bit. And again, I've been, you know, outspoken at times on my end that I'm a bit skeptical of can Song play at this level in a rotation type role. I do think that Santi is a high ceiling but low floor. There's going to be more variance in his performances. You're going to get some great ones. You're going to get some duds. That always happens with younger players. But the one thing that I will say I think is a positive is the confidence. That's great confidence to have. That lets you know that even when Santi Aldama has disappointing performances, he's still got the confidence in himself to come out and play like he has the past two games. So there's no denying that Aldama has definitely done better than expected. You hope that continues. You wonder potentially, you know, when the Grizzlies are going to be like, hey, we're just going to let the young guys play. You know, the older guys who know they're going to be on the team, they're going to sit. But, hey, I hope they don't take away the opportunity for us to once again see him out there on it. I mean, let's put it this way. I know I've seen some of the fun comparisons out there, but Bo Cruz in the movie Hustle wound up on the Boston Celtics. Santi Aldama plays the Boston Celtics next. Let it come full circle. Let him become Bo Cruz. I had to. Just had to.
We all can dream. We all can dream.
Absolutely. But right now, the dream is Santi Aldama playing. He's the next Dirk. Santi Aldama is the next Dirk. That's just
what go all out, son. Why not?
Yeah. But all joking aside, that is one big takeaway from the Summer League so far. Zaire Williams playing his best game so far of the Summer League. Santi Aldama being much better than expected, playing at a much better level than many of us expected so far. But they're not the only ones that improved. And overall, it was the team-wide instant improvement in areas where many individual Grizzlies needed to improve that really stood out. We'll discuss a few others that really shined on Tuesday night in just a moment. But before we do, I want to talk with you again about BetOnline.net. Because, I mean, at the end of the day right now, Santi Aldama is playing like a prime Dirk Nowitzki. You're going to want to bet on the Grizzlies when it comes to Summer League games. But you don't want to waste every single time that you do your bets trying to set them up. You want the fastest and easiest way to be able to bet on all your sports action. And, DeMichael, I can tell you this. I know if you bet and wager on sports, if you talk to fans, if you talk to others who enjoy doing it, you want your energy to focus on what's going to win you money, not on constantly having to set it up.
Exactly. And look, the thing about Bet Online is we're talking about basketball right now. We're talking about betting on Santi Aldama, but MLB, a lot of it's about to, we're getting close to the trade deadline. This is the perfect time to cash in on some of those teams who you think are going to make those runs, like our Braves did last season when they were under 500 at this time of last season to end up winning the world championship. Bet Online is where you go to place those bets, Sean.
Absolutely. BetOnline.net on your mobile device or your laptop. Just go to BetOnline.net today, the fastest and easiest way for you to bet on all your sports action. Can't thank you enough for making Locked On Grizzlies your first listen of the day. We're obviously going to continue to talk about Summer League moving forward, and it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what are our takeaways going to be after the Summer League and as it winds down. Me and DeMichael will be back with you later on this week, continuing coverage of hopefully the Grizzlies continuing to play like they did last night. So talk about Zaire Williams, talk about Santi Aldama, last year's draft picks, the ones that you were really hoping would shine. But another player that really stepped up, and you've seen some incremental improvements in his approach each game that really took off last night, and that was David Roddy. 20 points, he's starting to show the resourcefulness of his offensive game. He's starting to show what stood out to Zach Kleiman in the Grizzlies front office about his ability to make right decisions when it comes to finding the best shot for him to take consistently. He did it last night. Wasn't necessarily from three, but using his size to be able to find productive shots, it showed out in a great way last night.
Yeah, the thing about David Roddy, he's the most interesting player from my perspective of all of these guys, the most interesting one. And this is from me talking to the Grizzlies, just getting an idea for how to use these guys, what they want everyone to work on, develop and everything. David Roddy is the most interesting case. Why? Santi, you just want Santi to play, right? Xavier Tillman's just out here getting reps. Zaire Williams, we talked about, they want Zaire Williams to do the playmaking. Kennedy Chandler, he's a point guard. They want him to play this fast-paced, up-tempo style that the Grizzlies play. Vince Williams, you want to see him do more than just spot up, shoot the ball. They want to challenge him by allowing him to guard, you know, these tough matchups. Jake LaRavia, again, you want him to space the floor plug and make, you know, three-pointers. take the ball off the dribble from time to time. David Roddy, I don't think they even know when they first like got him in summer league. I don't think there was one thing where it was like, David Roddy, this is what we want you to do. His game has completely finally have an identity for him. And for one, it's the hustle. This is probably the guy who has hustled more than anyone on this team so far. I'm talking about on rebounds. Even when he doesn't get the rebound, he's tipping the ball out. He's, you know, fighting for it. He's making guys really strap for the boards. They played him at the three. They played him at the four. They played him at the five. We've talked about how with David Roddy, he's an interesting case, right? Because he played the four in college for the most part, but his secondary position was the five. Sean, I can't think of too many cases like in just my history of watching basketball where a guy plays a lot of five in college and he's playing primarily the three in summer league. You're talking about downsizing two positions like that. We don't see that a lot. So David Roddy, I think this was what I call the identity game for him. First of all, the energy, the hustle. This is one of those guys, you know, like a Dylan Brooks. You can count on him to really make those plays that'll turn a game around just like that. He had a dunk, a transition dunk, Sean. And I think Dylan Brooks, Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, as soon as he rose up, they all were sitting courtside in different sections. They all rose up at the same time. And, I mean, he really brought the energy to the team. I think that's when the Grizzlies took off. He brought the energy from that perspective. He knocked down a couple three-pointers. He's a hustle player. And check this out, too. End of the game, the Grizzlies, you know, they put the backups in. Ronaldo Sagu makes a nice play where Ja Morant, Dylan Brooks, these guys are running on the court. Who's running on the court with Ja Morant and Dylan Brooks? It's David Roddy from the Grizzlies bench running on the court with them. So he's bringing the energy not only while he's on the court playing, but he's on the bench bringing it. I think this is a real one of those energetic spark plugs. The team is down. They're having a slow start to a game. This is your type of guy that you bring in the game and really bring that impact. But it's not just the energy, right? Today we saw him in this past game. You know, he made a couple three-pointers. He hasn't really made the fadeaway shot yet. But, Sean, he told me. He said that's his move. So I think that's a shot we're going to see fall, like, a lot more. That fadeaway shot that he's been going to, and a lot of Grizzlies fans probably like, what the world is he doing? That's a shot that he makes a lot. So keep watching that shot. That's his go-to move. But I'm really impressed with him. Overall, I love the energy. I love the hustle. They got to figure out what position they want to play him at, whether it's the three, the four, or I mean, they did draft him because of that versatility. But he really showed some things in this past game.
Absolutely. And the other thing that stood out, you know, his scoring ability certainly stood out as well. But the Grizzlies, once again, seven steals, eight blocks. And you know, we talked about the fact that Jake LaRavia probably has been a bit reluctant to take the shot. You know, it was showed again in this game. Kennedy Chandler, he has struggled at times with his efficiency shooting, but they're contributing in other ways. LaRavia, five rebounds, four assists, two steals, three blocks. Kennedy Chandler, yep. Three steals. Santi Aldama, three blocks. The point that I'm getting at is that even though the rookies may not necessarily score to the level that you're hoping to, they're still finding ways. Kennedy Chandler has emerged as truly being one of the best pickpockets in this summer league setup, without a doubt. And that's been great to see. So overall, the rookies being able to contribute in multiple ways also is a very good narrative to take away from summer league.
Yeah, you mentioned it. Kennedy Chandler being one of the best pickpockets, right? Sean, I think there's an argument to be made that Kennedy Chandler, I mean, we'll see how he does against NBA-level ball handlers. Well, not NBA-level, but, you know, the primary ball handlers that start for these NBA teams, not summer league guys. There's an argument that can be made that he has the best hands from an instinctive defensive perspective on the Grizzlies team right now. Last year was De'Anthony Melton, without a doubt. De'Anthony Melton, top 10 in the NBA in deflections. You know, he gets his hands on everything. Kyle Anderson kind of to the same degree. And we saw in those games against Golden State, even though De'Anthony Melton didn't make much of an impact against the Timberwolves, he made an impact against Golden State. Kyle Anderson, same thing. Those are the type of series where both of those guys really shine. Whereas if you look at Kennedy Chandler, that's that type of guy. The instincts, I mean, he's off the charts. He's the type of guy that you could see leading this NBA in steals one day. I asked him, you know, like, who does he watch defensively? And he gave me an interesting name. This is the first time we heard this one because this was actually a rookie last season, Sean. He said Jose Alvarado. A lot of people will remember Jose Alvarado is the guard for the Pelicans, who, if you don't know him for playing with the Pelicans, you know him for one or two things. You know him for one, giving the Suns a hard time in that first round series and just being pesky against Chris Paul. Or two, you know him for this kind of trick that he does, Sean, where the point guard takes the ball out and he inbounds the ball and he's standing over there in the corner and he just sneaks up behind you. And he got a lot of steals this past season by doing that. But Kennedy Chandler, you know, compared himself as a smaller guard who's, you know, 6 feet, can kind of be pesky, kind of can use his hands. He talked about the type of way he goes through, you know, ball screens so he can stay in front of a defender and keep, you know, stay attached to them. I think his defensive IQ, and he played for Rick Barnes. Me and you, Sean, we know what Rick Barnes can do to a player on the defensive end. He's going to bring the best out of you, and you see that with Kennedy Chandler. But, yeah, really encouraging performance for all the rookies, I think, in this past game. And now, I mean, you got a couple more games at least left, and I think things are definitely trending up.
Absolutely, and we could not go without talking about Junior, Kenneth Lofton Jr., 11 points, 8 rebounds, but something that stood out to me, 4 assists. I talked about it on the episode where we had some summer league takeaways from the weekend. Again, several of the individual Grizzlies on Tuesday night showed improvements in the areas that you would hope they would show improvements in, clear areas of improvement that they had. His passing last night, 4 assists, it really stood out. He was making better decisions, had 3 turnovers, it happens. But overall, just great overall performance for the Grizzlies that you hope will lead to another repeat performance to that level against the Boston Celtics. DeMichael, do you have anything else for us before we head out on this edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast?
We pretty much hit it all. I know a lot of people are wondering, will Zaire Williams play another game? Will Xavier Tillman play another game? I talked with David McClure after the game, and he said as of that moment, as of 20, 30 minutes after the game, that they were expecting Zaire Williams to play in the next game on Thursday. So things could change. You know, he played well. Zaire Williams clearly has shown a lot. Things could change, and they could hold him out, especially we saw the Pelicans just lost one of their top rookies to a torn ACL. You know, teams are probably going to be more careful after something like that happens. So things could change, but as of this moment, from what I'm hearing from the Grizzlies side, Zaire Williams is expected to be playing on Thursday.
Be fun to see. And, of course, you know, our best wishes to E.J. Liddell, who unfortunately he hadn't even signed his contract as of yet. It's never fun to see that. You certainly hope that his recovery, it works out the best that it can. So, hey, another great episode. It's a lot more fun to talk about successes than struggles, especially when it comes to the young, intriguing players on your roster. It's also fun to speculate about adding other young players. And even if Donovan Mitchell may not necessarily be the most ideal fit in time, I imagine the Grizzlies are going to find an addition that is really going to accelerate this roster to be a championship contender. And hey, we're going to have all the coverage for you here at Locked On Grizzlies. Stats SAC here, DeMichael Cole at DeMichael C on Twitter as well. This is the episode. I'm going to guarantee it. We get 1,000 followers here on YouTube, but it doesn't stop there. Keep hitting that subscribe button. Let's us know you enjoyed the show. Let's others find the show. Can't thank you enough for the support. Until next time, Sean Coleman, DeMichael Cole, have a wonderful Wednesday. We'll talk to you soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.